Now, we're going to bring the Word of God. He is going to quicken His Word to us. He is going to make it alive to us today. It may be words that have been on these pages that you've read for years, but it is going to come alive in you today. It's going to come alive in you today. I believe that it's going to... I believe that the word today is it's going to bring you answers. We already said that. It's going to bring you answers to questions that you've been asking. And it's going to bring deliverance in areas that you've been in bondage to. The power of the word. Amen. It's going to do that for you. Amen? Amen. I'm going to bring this down here. I don't know why. I want to do it. That's why. I feel better down here. I feel closer to Gene down here. That means I'm closer to God when I'm closer to Gene. Oh, glory to God. Somebody say, I am the church.
I am the church.
You are the church. Not these four walls, okay? This is where we gather as a church. But you are the church. Does everybody understand that? You know, when Jesus called out, it's called the ecclesia, the call to be called out. He called us out of the world into fellowship with God. And there are things that go along with that. And today we're going to learn a couple of those things, one of them being the blessing. Amen? Well, just to recap, when I was here 2 weeks ago, and I was talking about what is your race. Does anybody remember that? What is your race? We all have a race to run. We all have a race to run. And I was asking, what is required of you to run your race? We all have a race to run. And I shared out of 1 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But verse 24 in chapter 9 says, "Know ye not that ye which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Run that ye may obtain. You're not just, you know, going out and just, it's not an afternoon jog. You know, I was told one time that runners like LSD. You know what LSD is, right? Now, I ain't talking about the drug. Y'all get your minds out the gutter. LSD is long, slow distance. Distance runners like long, slow distance. That's what I was told one time. I'm not a runner, so I don't know. I had to take their word for it because they like LSD. But you have a race to run. You have a race to run. Let me get off that. Let me get off that and move on over here. In Hebrews 12:1, it said, this is just recap, says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So that tells me that there is a race that is set before us, right? You know, in Proverbs it says, man makes his plans, but we follow the path of God. God has put us on a path. He's placed a race before us. So we need to run that race, and we need to find out what that race is, right? We shared all this 2 weeks ago. You know, how do you find that race? How do you know, Todd, how do I know what race I'm to run? Am I a long distance runner, or am I a sprinter? Am I a hurdler, or am I a jumper? I mean, what race am I supposed to be in? Well, you got to get in the presence of God to find that out. And how do you do that? Through prayer time. Yes. Through meditating on His Word. Through listening to His Word. Watching His Word. Reading books. I mean, this is how you get in the presence. And it is different for each one of us. Let me say, it is different for each one of us. Some of us can go into a prayer closet, a shut-off room, and spend time with God there. Some can walk out in our garden and talk to God out there. Some can drive in our car, and that's where we have our quiet time. I particularly like to take very long showers. The rest of my family hates it because sometimes they ain't got no hot water left by the time I get out of there. But I like to talk to God in the shower. I don't know. I just do. It's the washing of the water of the word while I'm washing my body. But what is your race? What we got to find out what our race is. And we need to run it just like we read there in Hebrews. Run our race with patience, being steady, active, and persistent. Let me just read down. That's not in that verse I read. But turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And let me finish that out. Hebrews chapter 12. And this is out of the Amplified. And let me just start at verse 1. Let me just read it over here. It says, Hebrews 12, 1, Amplified. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance that is unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us all. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize, we read that when we run a race, we run it for a prize. He, for the joy of obtaining that prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Just think of him. Just think of Jesus. Just think of Jesus who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials. What trials have you gone through this week? What trials have you experienced this month? What trials have you been dealing with this year? What trial of life have you endured? Think of it and then put it in comparison with what Jesus went through, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. You know, a word came forth, this has been, I don't know, several months ago, maybe even a year ago, that there's an anti-fainting anointing here at Christian Growth Center. Anti-fainting anointing. There's an anointing to allow you to not grow weary in well-doing. The anointing allows you to not grow weary in well-doing. Amen? So, that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds, you have not yet struggled. This is the comparison. You have not yet struggled and fought agonizingly against sin, nor have you yet resisted and withstood to the point of pouring out your own blood. Jesus poured out his own blood, but he did it for the joy of us. He saw us on the other side, and he did it willingly and gladly, poured out his blood for you and me. Amen? So we ought not waste that. That's why we have to find what race we're to run. That's why we got to get in line with the will of God and the race that he's set before us. Not the race we want to run. Maybe not even the race that we're... No. I was going to say, no, I'm not. That's not right. Thank you, Lord, for checking me. Running our race with, and did you hear that? With patience, being steady, active, and persistent. Let me tell you a story about persistence and being active. Some of you I've told before, I used to sell books door to door. That's right after I graduated college. This company was, they go around to the colleges and recruit people to do their sales for summer. It's a summertime job. So I went to California selling books door to door, right? relocated from the East Coast to the West Coast. And then I'm out banging on doors. Somewhere I don't know. People I don't know, obviously. But anyways, that's not the point. The point is, there was this one salesman. It was a summertime job, 2.5, 3 months at the most. We're out there, right? And there was this one student, this one salesman. He was not the most gifted salesman. I thought I was a better salesman than he was when it came to talking to people and, you know, encouraging people to buy. And I thought that I had a better gift for it than he did. He wasn't the most gifted, wasn't the most talented. He wasn't the most knowledgeable about the books that we were selling even. I mean, he wasn't. He couldn't tell you some of the stuff that was in the books that I knew. But he was so persistent. He was so active. And at the end of the summer, they bring us all back to the corporate headquarters, and they're handing out checks, because what they do is they keep your money until the end of the summer. And they'll hand out checks. They'll give you an allowance to live and all that. But they were handing out checks, and they go over statistics and stuff. He had banged on more doors than anyone else that entire summer. He remained active and was persistent in what he was doing. And as a result of that, he made more money than anybody else that summer. $29,000. This was back in 1991. In the summer, banging on doors, because he was persistent. He was active. He wasn't the most talented. He wasn't the most knowledgeable. He was the most persistent at what he was doing. I would go and I would make a sale or two. I'm like, man, that's good money. And then I'd go to the beach and go surfing. That's what I would. That's why I didn't make $29,000 over the summer. But I certainly enjoyed myself. I did. But that's what we're talking about, being persistent and running your race. Once you find the key first, find your race. Find out what race does God want me to run? And then when you start running it, be persistent in it. Be steady. Be steady in it. And verse 2 right there says, looking away from all that will distract. You know, you have opportunity in this world to be distracted, don't we? With everything going on. And I mean, you know, I don't even like carrying a cell phone sometimes because, and this is going to sound bad, but sometimes I just don't want to know people can be in touch with me. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I just want to be alone. And I don't want to know, they don't want them to know that I can be in touch with them at that very moment. We're in an informational exchange of information society where, you know, we have at the touch of our fingertips any information we want. The news, I mean, whatever happens in China, instantaneously we'll know what, you know, is going on. And of course, you know, if it's the, you know, it's all bad anyways, you know, whatever they're saying. And so information society, we have so much in this world that can distract us. It is. But we have to make ourselves look away from those things. Looking away from those things in the world that are distracting us and looking to Jesus. We have to, you know, sometimes we just have to force ourselves to do that. You know, there has to be that determination, that persistence, that active persistence that causes us to look away from what is distracting and looking to Jesus Christ, the lover of our soul, our Savior, our Lord. Amen? Yes. Too often we get distracted with the cares of the world and we lose our perspective on life. Now listen to me. What is our perspective on life? Well, who we are in Christ and why we were created. Have you ever just sat down one day and thought, why was I created? Why were you created? I'm not talking about mankind right now. I'm just talking about you specifically, individually. Why were you created? I think we need to meditate on that sometimes. Just take stock in that. You know, Lord, Why was I created? I know how I was created. Thank you, parents. But why? Why? Why was I created? Well, mankind was created for fellowship with God. You think about it back in the garden. You know, God made everything. Creator of the universe. And then he formed man out of the dust of the earth. He formed Adam. Why? Because he wanted fellowship. He wanted relationship. And in that fellowship, he blesses us and he expects us to enjoy life.
Yes. Yes.
How many are enjoying life today?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Was that an honest answer?
Yes.
Enjoying life, every minute of it? Huh? How many enjoying every minute of it? But he wants us to enjoy life. And every minute of it. I believe we can. I believe it is a goal that is not too high to reach. But it takes some work to get there. And I don't mean physical labor work. I mean work in the spirit. Amen. You think of John 10:10. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But why did Jesus come? To give us life. The abundant life. Not just life. Not just existence. He doesn't want us just to exist here on this earth. He wants us to enjoy and have abundant life.
Yes, he does.
Abundant life. Abundant life. He wants you to enjoy every aspect of your life. I believe that includes your job.
Amen.
I mean, Adam was created by God and then asked to do what? He was asked to rule, yes, but tend the garden. God gave him a job to do. And I don't think it was burdensome to Adam. I believe he was out there, you know. What's that old whistle while you work? I think we all need to be whistling while we work. Now, some of y'all, when you put your lips together, it all comes out as spit. But we need to have the attitude that we're whistling while we work. Don't be spitting on your coworkers. I don't think they'd appreciate that. We need to have that attitude that we're whistling inside while we work. We need to have joy. I mean, I can't imagine that Adam was burdened with that task, with that job, if you will. So part of your race, and here I'm here to tell you, part of your race is the job that you are doing.
Yes.
And some of you are doing your job begrudgingly. You're doing it with criticism. You're doing it maybe with pride, thinking you can do it better than your boss or your boss's boss or whoever it goes up to. But I believe he created us to enjoy life, and that includes our job, and we're to do it with joy in our heart. You know, joy in our heart as we work, as we provide. You know, I don't like you know that saying, the breadwinner. Who's the breadwinner in the house?
Yeah.
I don't like that. You know, we don't win bread. I mean, God is the provider, right? That almost gives the context. You have to strive for it. But my Bible says that God will provide seed for the sower. And bread for eating, right?
Yes.
Is this connecting?
Yes.
We're to enjoy life. We're to enjoy our spouse.
Amen.
We're to enjoy our children. Amen. We're to enjoy our jobs. We're to enjoy our pets. How many have pets? How many enjoy them? I put my hand down. You got your pet. You calling her a dog? Oh, my goodness. Trisha?
She's my pet.
She's your pet? Okay. And she's going to use it. She got it and she ain't afraid to use it. You know, we need to enjoy. I don't know this pet thing. Why? I go and I see people that, I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. Oh, I'm going to. What? All right, let me put it this way. I used to be this way. I had a pet growing up, and he was truly a family pet. Went everywhere. But as he got older, and I got older, and the kids weren't at home, he ended up being chained up. Had a doghouse out in the backyard for years. For years it was like that. And it was I drive different places. I'm not going to tell you where it is. And I see these fenced-in yards, even, and a dog just out there by itself, and it's worn a path along the fence line because it don't get any interaction with anybody. I saw there was a dog not too far away that was that same scenario, chained up. And every time that we would go walking, all you would see that dog doing is going around and back around and around and back around. No one to enjoy it. Why? Here's where I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. Why have a pet if you're not going to enjoy it? All right. Let me get off my pet soapbox. Oh, Lord. Please. Where am I at? That is... Do I need to repent to someone here? Just raise your hand and I'm going to come apologize right now. Love your pets.
Amen.
Love them, right? Love them. Enjoy them. They were, you know, anyways, I got to get off of this. Enjoy them. We're talking about enjoying life.
Yes.
Enjoying life that God created and gave to you, and that we're able to enjoy it because of what Jesus did for us. Amen. But we need to gain a proper perspective on life, a proper perspective. What perspective? And this is what I want to get to. God wants to bless His creation.
Yes.
It hasn't changed since the foundation of the earth. That's what He said to Adam. He said, be blessed, be fruitful, multiply. Right? He hasn't changed. He longs to bless us. God longs to bless us. He longs to have fellowship with us. He's hungry, Wanda, to have fellowship with us. He is hungry to have fellowship with us. It's what He created us to do for. And it hasn't changed. He wants to walk with us in the cool of the garden, have fellowship with us, and He wants to bless us. But we have to put first things first. And this is what I want to get to, the blessing. How He created us, why He created us, why you were created, that we have a race to run. All of us have our individual race to run, and in running that race and being obedient to run that race, He will bless us. The blessing will come. And guess what? If you're steady, active, persistent in running your race, the blessings will come and chase you down. They will come and chase you down. Look at Deuteronomy. They will come and chase you down. See, in today's society, and what society wants you to think is that you have to work, 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 move ahead, move ahead, move ahead, move up, step on anybody's head that it takes to get there. But the Word says you don't have to do that.
Amen.
You don't have to do that. If you put first things first, and if you're running your race, the blessings will chase you down. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 out of the Amplified. It says, if you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. So one, we need to listen diligently, not just in passing, not listening and going in one ear and out the other. Listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do. So if you'll listen, and then you'll be watchful to do all His commandments, which He commands us this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And listen to this. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. They shall come upon you and overtake you if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. They'll come upon you and they'll overtake you. That's abundant life. That's enjoying life. That's running your race, being obedient to run your race, finding out what your race is, being obedient to run it, listening, being watchful to do all that He commands you, and then those blessings come in and overtaking you. Overtaking you. What blessings? Well, let's read them. If you sit in here on Sunday and you make it to the end of the service without falling asleep, you hear a blessing just about every Sunday that Pastor Rob is up here. Done it for years. And this is what he is quoting, is Deuteronomy 28. Listen to these blessings. So, I want you to get your listening ears on, and I want you to hear them as if you're hearing them for the first time.
Amen. Amen.
These are the blessings that come to you when you're running your race, when you're being steadfast, persistent, patient, when you're listening to God and you're doing what He tells you. Listen to these. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. That's just about everywhere. You might as well just say, I'm blessed everywhere I go.
Amen.
Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your beasts, the increase of your cattle, and the young of your flock. That, to me, is prosperity. He's talking about prosperity. When your beasts are blessed, and your flock of your fields are blessed, and they're multiplying. Amen? And the fruit of your body. You know, there are many couples, and this has been an ongoing thing for years. Couples come together and they can't have children. They do like in vitro, isn't that what it's called? Or all kinds of stuff to have children. But I'm saying if they would just have knowledge of the Word of God, the fruit of their womb would be blessed. Their womb would be fertile. If they would just, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's continue with the blessings. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. I skip verse 5. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. That's your place of employment. That's how I translate that. Your job will be blessed. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouse and in all that you undertake. I like another translation that says, in your barn, honey. You'll be blessed in your barn. And in all that you undertake. You know, that tells me, I know we have, I'm telling you, I'm preaching it. We got a race to run. We got to know what that race is. But let's just, for the sake of argument, say you're not quite in your race. You haven't maybe found out exactly where God wants you. You're seeking Him. You're listening. But maybe you're over here and you're not quite in your race. Well, that says it'll bless you in all that you undertake. As long as you are listening, as long as you are doing what He asks, as long as you are being persistent, steady, patient, right? He'll bless you in whatever you undertake. In whatever you undertake. In whatever you put your hand to. Amen? The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouse and in all that you undertake, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to Himself, as He has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name and in the presence of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. We talked about that reverential fear. You know, the apostles, when they walked the earth and his disciples and were doing performing the miracles that they performed, there was reverential fear of the people of them. And that's not, you know, fear as in anxiety or they're scared of them, but there was a reverence of them because they knew that they were representing the Lord. The Lord was working with them and they were performing these miracles. There was that reverential. And we're to be the same in this earth today. And that's not from a position of pride, like people looking at us because of what we're doing. No, that's we are communicating the gospel, and there should be some reverential fear in that. Does that make sense? You know, it goes right along with being the salt of the earth, being a light to the world. People should see us and what we're doing or how we're acting or what we're saying. And there should be some reverential fear because we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen? So, in verse 11 says, "And the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity." Why do you need a surplus? To be a blessing. We say it all the time. To be a blessing. He wants you to have a surplus of prosperity. So that you can bless someone else. And that'll be a testimony to them. It'll be a testimony to them. That you may have a surplus of prosperity through the fruit of your body, of your livestock, and of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open to you His good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain of your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. Somebody say, all the work of my hands are blessed of God. Amen? And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall lend and shall not borrow. That's that surplus of prosperity. Where you have such a surplus that you can give it away and not expect anything in return. You know? Give it away. And not expect anything in return. But you know what happens, and this is what's so cool, is when you enter into that and when you have revelation of that and you do that and you give not expecting anything in return, it gets pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it comes back to you. So when you give in abundance, it's a principle. Expect more to come back. And what do you do with that? Give more away. There was a pastor or preacher in England, and his name escapes me right now. But he said that, he used this word, that his church is just a conduit for money. He says, I can't give it away fast enough that it keeps coming back to us. He can't give it. I'd like to be in, who wants to be in that position? I want to give it away fast enough that I can't give it all away. And it's not for the puffing up of me and throwing it into my storehouse and keeping it. No. The kingdom. It's about the kingdom. And the kingdom needs finances in these last days to call in the harvest. The last great harvest. There's going to be a great harvest. And to take part in that, I believe, it's going to take finances. So therefore, we want a surplus of prosperity. Amen. And let me finish in verse 14. You shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods and to serve them. And that's that distractions that we're talking about. We can't turn away from God to the distractions. We have to turn away from the distractions to God. Amen? Amen? Yes. Proverbs 10:6 says, blessings are upon the head of the uncompromisingly righteous. That is the upright and right standing with God, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich at any cost shall not go unpunished. He who makes haste to gain wealth at any cost. Who gives us the power to gain wealth? God. God's the one that gives us the power. You know, oh, the fool that says in his heart that I have gained this wealth in and of myself. No, it's God that gives the power to gain wealth. And he adds no sorrow to it. When he gives you the power to gain wealth, he doesn't add sorrow to it. Yeah, there are multi-millionaire billionaires in this world that have all the money they could ever need, that have more than they could probably give away in their lifetime, that are the most miserable creatures on the earth. Because they went after and they took it for themselves. And then, Scripture says the reason you don't get it when you ask is because you want to spend it or be selfish about it on yourself. And I know I'm paraphrasing that. Because we don't have the right perspective. We want to spend it on ourselves. We want to do for ourselves. But when we have the right perspective, oh, watch out. The windows of heaven will open up and you will be a conduit for finances to flow through you to bless someone. Amen? So what is our right perspective? Be faithful to run your race that is before you. What did he say? He said if you're faithful in the little things, he'll bless you with much, right? So whatever you put your hand to do, no matter how small it seems, no matter what your job is, no matter how insignificant in your mind it may be, you do it as doing it unto the Lord. And if you're faithful in that little thing, oh, he'll bless you with much, much, much more than you can contain. Amen? So be faithful. Run your race. Understand who you are in Christ. Just like that song we sang in the beginning. Oh, the blood. Understand what the blood bought for you. Understand who you are in Christ. Understand why you were created. Understand why you're here. How do you understand it? Well, I believe you first got to have knowledge of it, right? You got to know it. Second, you got to apply it. You got to apply that knowledge to gain understanding of it. You know, you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't apply it, then there's no understanding. And when you apply that knowledge and gain that understanding, in there comes wisdom. Wisdom. And wisdom is the principal thing, the Word says. I wrote this down. Wisdom is receiving the blessing of God, knowing you don't deserve it. Receiving the blessing of God, knowing you don't deserve it, but understanding that Jesus bought and paid for the gift of right relationship with God. He paid for it with his own blood. So what is our perspective on life? Have we ever asked ourselves, why was I created? Have you ever been bold and asked him, Lord, why did you create me? Why did you bring me into this world? I believe he did it for such a time as this.
Amen. Amen.
I've told you this before. I've always wanted to live in the past at some of these great things that have happened throughout our life, our culture. And I always wanted to be a knight, okay? I mean, that's, you know, they wear those shiny outfits and they got those big swords and they fight and they battle and they ride horses. So I always envision myself being this gallant knight riding in on a horse, saving the girl, being cheered, having those little banners swirling around. But no. You were created. I was created for such a time as this. The most important time in history.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Why? Because there is a harvest of souls
waiting.
And there are so few laborers. There are so few knights to go out and reap the harvest. And we need to be those laborers. We need to be those laborers. But we need to understand who we are in Christ.
Yes.
You know, we can't be, I don't have a Johnny on the spot analogy for this, so I'll just, we can't be a good laborer when we're distracted by all these other things going on. I mean, here the harvest is out in the field, dying on the vine, if you will, and I got our attention over here, you know, looking to how can we get a bigger house? How can we get a better car? How can we move up in the corporate world? How can we, I don't know, you put your things in there. And the harvest is over here dying in the field. It's dying in the field. I'm all for, you know, advancing self. I mean, like, learning. I like to learn. I like to learn new things, especially things in the Word. Always learning new things in the world. But we cannot ignore the harvest while we are seeking self gain. Is that right? I wrote this down 2 weeks ago, and I'll just repeat it. I don't know. It bears repeating, I believe. Because I want us, you know, the word has come forth that a heart change is occurring. I believe here at Christian Growth Center, I believe in the body of Christ. And there's a lot of things tied to that heart change, I believe. One of them is restoration. Yeah. One of them is restoration. One of them is awakening. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the church is going to have to, and I say the church universal is going to have to awaken to their authority in order to make changes in this world. If we want changes to happen, we're going to have to awaken. So there's a lot tied in to that. But I wrote this down. Let me just say this. I'm getting off topic. I said the lost need to believe in Jesus, right? The lost need to know Jesus. They need to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The church needs to believe the Jesus in us. Jesus is in us. The very same power that raised him from the dead is inside of us. And we need to awaken to that. The church needs to rise up and awaken to that and understand that power inside of us to bring restoration to our own life. We got to start there. To our own life, to our family, to the lost, to the church, to a corporate body. That's what we need to do. And Jesus is the one that brings that restoration to us. So I shared, what is Christian Growth Center's race? I mean, if we have a race to run, CGC must have a race to run, right? We've shared that in part of the vision. We've shared that with our battle cry being restoration, restore, restore, restore. We've shared that in the prophecies that have gone forth about this body, about being a spiritual hospital, about a house of miracles. You know, these things are going to take place.
Yes.
They have to some extent already. But we, and I say we, CGC is not Todd, it's not Rob, it's not Tricia, it's not Nikki, it's not Gene, it's not Mark. CGC is all of us.
Amen. Amen.
And we all have to come together and run a race.
Yes. Yes.
Run the race that God has set before us.
Yes.
And we're hearing some of these things of what CGC's race is. Yes. And we're talking about it, and we're confessing it, we're declaring and decreeing it. But there's a time coming we're going to have to see it.
Yes.
So, do y'all question why we haven't seen more of that? I do. I do. I don't, you know, and is it because we're not all in one accord? Or is it some of the pieces are missing? You know, we all play a part. We're to be jointly fit together. Are some of those parts missing? Are some of them not operating effectively? I ask the Lord that all the time. Why? Even in the earth, why? Why? Why aren't we seeing? It hasn't changed, okay? When the apostles were walking the streets and, you know, Peter's shadow was falling on the lame and the sick and they were being healed, that's still available today and it still needs to be happening. Why isn't it? We need to awaken. We need to arise. The church. I'm talking about the church.
Amen.
But the church is made up as of individuals, yes. Right? Yeah. So that tells me each individual has to be doing their part for it to be what God called it to be.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And what is restore? I wrote this down, this definition last time. Just to bring it back, keep it before you, to resuscitate, to bring back to life, to revive, to return that which has been lost or stolen and unjustly detained. And I said the enemy has stolen much. The enemy has stolen much, but we have given away much. We have given away much. Amen. So, you're on the same assignment to find out your race. Where do I fit? What part of the race, what leg of the race am I supposed to be in? What is my part to play? What is my race individually? And then how do I fit into the overall race of the church? And once you find it, be obedient. Be persistent. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't faint.
Yes.
If you feel like you're going to faint, come on in here. There's an anti-fainting anointing.
Amen. Amen.
Be restored. Be brought back to life. Be revived. You know, revival is for the church. It's not for the world. Revival is for the church. Revival is to bring, to resuscitate the church, the body of Christ, back to its place of authority. So that we can go and reap the harvest.
Amen. Amen.
Before it dies. Amen. On the vine.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord. I know I've been wordy today, but I believe by the Holy Spirit, one word can penetrate the heart, change a life forever. Lord, I pray that in that questions have been answered. Some questions that people have had have been answered today, Lord. Maybe they've gotten a glimpse at what their race is. Maybe they're on track. They're on pace. But Lord, there's something else that they need to do. Or maybe they haven't even thought about running. They're sitting on the couch. They're sitting on the sidelines. But they see that they have to get in the race now. And they see what their part is. And as all we come all together, running our individual races, I just see that forming into one big race of the church, racing towards the culmination of this age when we will see the second coming of Christ our Lord.
Yes.
So Father, help us to run our race, to find our place. We know that you have a place. Holy Spirit, help us to find it, to run it, and to enjoy life, people. Don't be so anxious and bothered by everything going on around you and in your life. Be at peace. Jesus gave you His peace, that peace that passes all understanding. So no matter what you're going through, what situation you're in right now, you can have peace. You can follow peace, and there'll be joy. Waves of joy. Waves of joy just washing away the cares of the world. Waves of joy washing away bondages. Waves of joy coming into your life and washing all that away. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross, shed his blood, so that we could have life and have it more abundantly, so that we could walk in the blessing of God, overflowing, overflowing, surplus of prosperity, overflowing in our life, that we may be a light to all those that we come in contact with.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I believe, I'm believing that you got something from this today, something that you can take with you this week.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Something that will sustain you and keep you and guard you. But you know what? You have to continually renew your mind.
Yes.
To the washing of the water of the Word. You can't rely. Can't eat once a week, right?
That's right. That's right.
You got to keep in the Word. Keep in the Word. Keep in the Word. Keep hearing. Keep hearing. Keep hearing. Amen.